KVA and FingerLakesDailyNews.com.
Good morning, 8:38, Finger Lakes Morning News, and joining us on the program, a regular guest from Cancer Action New York, Don Hassig's back with us. Don, welcome.
Hey, Dan, how's it going?
Good. It's always good to have you here. It's been a while since we talked, so just to give a quick reminder for people who maybe haven't heard us talk before about what Cancer Action New York's all about.
Cancer Action New York is all about minimizing the exposure that New Yorkers receive to chemicals that cause cancer.
Now, we have talked in the past about the chemical danger and the cancer risk from open burning, and it was in part due to what you did with Cancer Action New York that the state of New York has put through a ban on that kind of burning. But today we're moving our attention to overseas because there is a place where such burning was done for a number of years in Iraq called Camp Buka. Tell us about Camp Buka and about Anthony Thornton's story.
Well, I got an email from Anthony Thornton, who was stationed at Camp Buka back, I believe it was in like the 2008-2009, about a year he was there, time frame. And at Camp Buka, they had tens of thousands of people. There were over 20,000 detainees, Iraqi detainees, and there were the military personnel who were charged with overseeing those detainees. And every bit of solid waste, other than some prohibited items, but, you know, the basic solid waste, the, you know, the tin cans, the plastics, the human waste, these large quantities of tens of thousands of people's solid waste was being burned in open waste fires every day. Every day, the cloud of black smoke rose up and moved over where these people were working. And Anthony said he felt like running indoors. And then he gets, you know, processed out later on. And then he has now been diagnosed with brain cancer. He's had brain cancer surgery. The cancer came back. He's had a second surgery. He's sitting down there in Arkansas right now, you know, out of the military now and back in the U.S. And he has a scar the shape of a question mark on the side of his head from this most recent surgery. And that picture says it all. You know, why, you know, this question mark, why did he have to have that scar on the side of his head in 2013 when in 1997 the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, you know, a top federal government USA agency, published a report in combination with the New York State Department of Health and the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. It was titled Evaluation of Emissions from the Open Burning of Household Waste in Barrels. And that report said it all. Terribly dangerous dioxin and PCB emissions from burning trash this way. And why didn't the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and the Marines and whoever else was involved in the U.S. military in doing open burning have the knowledge that existed way back in 97?
Do you know, is this a common thing throughout other military bases overseas? Is this how they generally dispose of waste, is just by putting it in burn pits?
That appears to be exactly what happens. I've got a letter here. It is dated October 23rd, 2013. It was written in response to a letter they wrote to Chuck Hagel, the Secretary of Defense in the U.S. It's signed by a Lee K. Levy II, Major General, U.S. Air Force. It says right here, many operational reasons require the use of open-air burn pits in contingency environments. The department has taken measures to ensure they are all operated in accordance with public law. And see, that's where it all falls apart. Public law doesn't utilize scientific knowledge for the best protection of people's health. Public law merely exists to make it possible to do things that people consider to be necessary. The public law he speaks about, he speaks about some prohibited items. It's just a matter of there are some prohibitions that exist in the public law about, say, burning hazardous waste. Or I haven't looked at what particular items they're prohibiting now from being burned. But the fact of the matter is, you can't burn trash, any trash. There's no trash you can burn that exists in the modern in the hands of modern men and women. In the old days, back when open burning was a legitimate way of disposing of waste, the trash was just wood and, say, maybe some cloth and some bones, you know, just this basic natural stuff. In the days of plastic packaging and waste that contain man-made materials, such as plastics and metal foils and all these chemicals that make the chemistry much more complicated and that follows the you know, the emissions that were reported in that report, the evaluation of the emissions from the open burning of household waste in barrels, which is open waste burning, the way it's done in many places, and the way they did it was much worse than that. It was this huge quantity out, you know. The only difference, it wouldn't have been as compacted, probably. It probably wouldn't have been as compacted, but it released the great clouds of black smoke, such as you see when plastic is being burned in a barrel or in a heap on a, you know, on the back 40 in a dairy farm or wherever this practice is taking place. And there's no safe way to do it, no matter what modern waste you're burning.
You make a really good point, which is that the composition of the trash has changed. Like you said, there was a time when there weren't all these chemical plastics and things being burned, and maybe while it wasn't the best way to dispose of waste, it wasn't the cancer risk that it is today with all these different compounds and who knows what some of them even are.
Exactly. You know, it's a chemistry that is very complicated, totally out of control. Nobody knows what's going on. And to think that they would do that to those people that were serving our country, they're because they believe in our country. And then in addition to that, all those Iraqi and Afghani civilians being detained there, many of them having done nothing wrong whatsoever, I'm sure. It just happened that they were being detained there. And then to have to breathe that every day. I've seen a report likening this to the dioxin problem that occurred in Vietnam.
Right.
The dioxins were a contaminant of the Agent Orange and some of the other herbicides that were aerial, you know, it was aerial application of herbicides in this tactical manner, a military operation to deny the enemy of cover and to also destroy food crops. And that dioxin legacy exists today. I'm on this thing called the Dioxin Working Group. They continuously have, you know, a conversation going on, communications taking place about how horrible it is in Vietnam, where all that dioxin exposure took place way back in the 60s and 70s. And to this day, there are people that are being harmed by this. These hot spots where the dioxin, you know, contaminated Agent Orange was, and the other agents were stored at airports, and where it got dumped, and where there's large quantities of this contamination still existing today. And now we have a situation where over in Iraq and Afghanistan, there are these places where the dioxins were emitted and the PCBs were emitted, and people were breathing that, and it's in their bodies. And this has been, you know, just, it's, that shouldn't have happened in these wars that took place in the time frame we're talking about here.
Now, when the military says that this burning is in keeping with the law, I mean, whose law are they talking about? I'm guessing that when the U.S. military operates a facility in Iraq, they're not too concerned about local Iraqi law. So what law governs the military?
The law that he points to, this Mr. Levy, this Major General Levy of the U.S. Air Force points to, he says, burn pits are not used for disposal of prohibited waste listed in Section 317 of the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2010.
Oh, okay.
Public law, yeah, it's just these pieces of legislation that do not exist for the protection of public health. They exist to make it possible to do these things. And it is all good and well that they do not burn everything that they could possibly burn. That's good. But it's so far from being okay when we know from 1997 that burning the waste that people generate in their own household lives, you know, just average old waste from, you know, an average New York American family. When the EPA took it and burned it in this open burning kind of situation where there's low oxygen availability, low temperatures, that turned into dioxins and PCBs in quantities that raised enough concern to have this practice banned in New York State in 2009.
Now, is there any sort of health database for returning veterans that where anybody can check and see who served at Camp Buka over the years and compare cancer rates to the baseline?
There was a burn pit registry that was established and exists now, and veterans from these operations are encouraged to sign up with that. And it's my understanding that they're going to use the burn pit registry to both offer, you know, better, you know, kind of premium, better health care for these people that have had these exposures, and also to hopefully study these populations as time progresses and more cases become diagnosed of the diseases that are associated with exposure to PCBs and dioxins, cancer, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and the kids. It is well documented now in the scientific literature in animal models, mammals, rats, and these animals that are very similar in their biochemistry to human beings, well documented that there are transgenerational effects. It has been documented that when a male rat is exposed to dioxin, that his offspring are predisposed through changes in their genetic material to chronic diseases such as cancer and diabetes.
Now,
there were studies years ago.
I was going to ask, is the main source of the dioxin our old friends, the POPs?
See, dioxins are POPs.
Oh, okay.
PCBs are POPs. Flame retardants are POPs. And I'll tell you, this is my thinking on this, and this is what I've already taken action on. I called up our San Luis County, I think they call it the Office of Veterans Affairs, or the Veterans Officer. You know, it's about
right.
veterans. There's this Mr. Michael Beaupre, who leads that. It was so cool. We started talking about this, you know, this my horror, truly, that the military personnel were being exposed to dioxins and PCBs from open trash burning trash burning activity. And he said, I was over there. He said, I, you know, was in Iraq in a hospital tent at night, and that tent was full of that trash burning smoke. I know exactly what you're talking about, and we're encouraging veterans and your current military personnel that were, you know, stationed in these places and exposed to sign up for the burn pit registry. And then I talked to him about that report I named for you, that report about the emissions from burning trash and open fires and how productive of dioxins and PCBs those fires are. And he said, I will put a copy of that report on the table where the information is about the burn pit registry. And I said, well, there's more. There's a World Health Organization report, Persistent Organic Pollutants Impact on Child Health, and this addresses how kids are harmed by the exposures that their parents receive and that they receive to dioxins and PCBs, which are part of the POPs. They need that information, too, and he said he would put that report there, too.
Wow.
And I'm hoping that someday this will be done by the Total Veterans Affairs Activities. You know, we have a Department of Veterans Affairs,
right.
And right now, as it stands, I can't even do an information table on that World Health Organization report at the Veterans Clinic up here at the Messina Hospital. You know, they say, Veterans Affairs says, we have to maintain consistency. We have to have the message that we decide is to be presented to these people. Well, it's not the message that would protect their health. It's the message the corporations want to present that the food supply is safe and there's no POPs in animal fat. Not true.
I don't know if you'll get a kick out of this. You might be saddened by this, but I searched for Camp Buca to find out a little bit more about it, and a Wikipedia page came up, and it is being rebuilt, according to Wikipedia, into a logistics city and environmentally friendly industrial hub, ironically enough.
Well, the word environmentally friendly and environmental is used very loosely, and there should be a big plaque there, a big, huge sign there that says, we did this after the EPA had published a report about not doing this way back in 1997. You know, that'd be fairness in play. It'll happen.
Well, happen.
Fairness is coming along.
We've documented over the years that we've visited the progress you've made domestically. So now you got it's a little bit bigger target to go after the military, but to hopefully that message will resonate and people will learn and they'll modify those procedures. Don, we appreciate the visit as always.
Stick one more thing in here.
Yeah, go
ahead.
They
are responding. They're responding. This is the last sentence in that letter. By applying rigorous oversight to burn pit operations, the number of burn pits in Afghanistan will decline from a high of 251 in March 2010 to 2 in operation by the end of December 2013. Too many, but it's a huge improvement.
Wow. Congratulations. That's terrific. That's terrific progress.
It's not me. I'm sure they were
working
hot and heavy.
Yeah.
Once they started seeing this thing taking, you know, shape in the modern world of the internet and people, I'm sure there were some veterans that came across some of these reports and started, you know, making phone calls and taking action.
All right. Well, information is what you've been all about, and we appreciate the visit as always.
Yep. Thanks, Ted.
All